glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, May 16th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and we're going to spend some more time with Sean Dagenhart. He was the founder and director of the Gospel Fest Singers, and he also just knows a lot of great church music history. Today we'll be digging into the life of Fanny Crosby. Thanks, Sean, for joining us again on Mark and Friends.
It's great to be back.
Now, you are quite the historian. You've done some deep digging into the life of Fanny Crosby, and I would love to feature her music today on Mark and Friends.
She is perhaps the greatest American hymn writer. Just an amazing output. She wrote over 8,000 hymns.
Wow.
And as we talk about her life, it was not the easiest life. So there were a lot of personal experiences that she brought to her hymns and are still blessing the church today.
So she wasn't blind at birth, but she was really mishandled by a physician, which created her blindness.
Yeah, she was born in 1820 in New York, and at 6 weeks of age, she had a cold that caused an eye infection. And her normal doctor was out of town, so another doctor that they had contacted told them to put a hot mustard poultice on her eyes that resulted in total blindness. Mm-hmm. So basically from birth, 6 weeks of age, blind her whole life.
Amazing. But she had this grandmother who she spent lots of time with, and it was on her knee that she began to really understand the importance of Jesus and also music and writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her grandmother sort of became her eyes and taught her about nature and animals and the Bible. Fanny wrote this poem regarding her blindness. "Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot nor I won't." So to have that kind of an outlook just is amazing. She said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me."
It's incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
That's just amazing. Now, she really was the darling of the day and the songwriter of America. I mean, she went before presidents and queens and other dignitaries.
She was the first female to address both houses of Congress. So, yeah, she was, you know, in the upper echelons of society.
Now, she also worked for a music company, and I think she was really kicking out almost one song a week for this.
Mm-hmm. And she was only paid like, I think, $2 a hymn. And she wrote using over 250 pseudonyms. For a while, she was the only staff writer at the Bigelow and Maine Publishing Company. And they did not want their competition to know that they only had one writer on staff. So she used all these different pseudonyms just to kind of, you know, buff up the image of the Bigelow and Maine Company.
Wow, and getting no credit for it. And yet, you know, she's got all this music out there that we don't even know is hers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she was only the lyricist. She only wrote the poetry for the hymns and had other people that she worked with to put a melody with it. So, you know, when she's writing these hymns, she had someone obviously with her kind of taking down the notation. But she said, and this kind of irritates me as a songwriter that really struggles with lyric writing. She said, "My verses come without the slightest effort, as though someone were singing them to me. I retire at night with a theme or a strain of music on my mind, and in the morning there is the complete song, stanza by stanza. I have really felt at times that the angels have been talking to me."
So it had to be supernatural. There's just no way one human being could write 8,000 songs.
No.
Songs that have stood the test of time. let's get into it. We're going to be sharing some of that music. Let's start with, you've picked He Hideth My Soul to highlight some of Fanny's ability. Tell us about the backstory.
Yeah, this is a recording off of Guy Penrod's Hymns Project, and He Hideth My Soul, for me, it's just like putting on a comfortable sweater. When things are going wrong in this world, you know, what better truth to sing that, you know, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. It's just a wonderful song that speaks to me many times.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. Covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand and covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high.
Enjoying the ministry of Sean Dagenhart here on Mark and Friends, and he's giving us some insight into the life of Fanny Crosby. Our next song, I Am Thine, O Lord. How did that come to be?
Fanny went to the New York Institution for the Blind at 15 years of age. And she later started teaching there. It's where she met her husband. But in 1850, so Fanny would have been about 30 years old, that's when she became a believer in Jesus. She was at a revival service. She went down to the altar while they were singing Isaac Watts's Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. She said, when they reached the fourth stanza, Here, Lord, I Give Myself Away, my very soul was flooded with a celestial light. And it was then that Fanny realized she must surrender her whole self and not just a part of her life to do his work the way the Lord wanted her to do it, not the way that she wanted to do it. So this song, I Am Thine, O Lord, I Have Heard Thy Voice, draw me nearer, nearer to thee.
Some of these songs, they're very slow and solemn and just looking inward. But then there's others, aren't there, Sean, that are very upbeat and energetic.
Yes, as I said earlier, that Fanny only wrote the lyrics, and she partnered with different tune writers to publish these hymns. And that's why you can sing different melodies to different tunes. And it's not like, you know, Blessed Assurance was written to be sung with that tune. It was okay and pretty common to exchange out tunes with different texts. If people look in their hymnals, if they still have them, you might see some numbers down at the bottom, like 6.4.6.4. Those numbers refer to the number of syllables in the text. So if you find a melody that matches that text, you can exchange it. That's why you can sing the Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island. You know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because the melody and the text line up syllabically.
Oh.
So one of these songs has two popular melodies to it, and it's the Redeemed song, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It.
Yeah.
There are two melodies that are pretty common, and the Martins, that wonderful brother-sisters trio, recorded a medley of that song, interweaving these two melodies that were written for the Redeemed hymn.
Oh.
How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me shall continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Forever I am, forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, child and forever I am, forever I am. La 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 la.
Probably one of her better known songs and most loved is Blessed Assurance. How did that come to be?
Phoebe Knapp was a good friend of Fanny's. Phoebe's husband was Joseph Knapp, who is the president of the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. So we talked about the company that she kept.
Yeah.
You know, she kept some wonderful company. Phoebe was one of the melody writers that worked with Fanny. And she came over one day, this is earlier in her life, so about 1873. Phoebe came over and sat down and played a little melody that she had written on the piano. And she said, "What does this music say to you? Do you hear any words?" And out of that little exchange came that wonderful hymn of the church, Blessed Assurance.
Salvation, virgin.
perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Big thanks to Sean Dagenhart for joining us today on Mark and Friends. If you're interested in his ministry, it's called Gospel Fest Ministries, and you can find it online, gospelfestministries.com. They have a lot of really wonderful programs, especially around the 4th of July and others in the Peoria area. I'm your friend Donna Leland. Thanks again for being a part of Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media.